Good evening. This is the Voice of America in Washington. Welcome to another edition of Reporters Roundtable. I'm Douglas Simpoga. This evening we'll talk about this week's political developments in Africa. And with us tonight is Mohamed Ademo. He's a co-founder and editor at Opray.com. Welcome to the show, Mohamed.
Thank you so much for having me, Douglas. Glad to be back on.
You're very much welcome. We also have regular panelist, Suleiman Mugula. He joins us from Durban, South Africa. He's an independent political analyst. Welcome to the show, Suleiman.
Thank you very much for inviting me, Douglas.
You're very much welcome. Gentlemen, as I said, that this week in Africa has been, I don't know how to describe it even. We had in Kenya the government deport an opposition politician. Down in Zimbabwe, main opposition leader Morgan Tsvangirai died yesterday. And then today in Ethiopia, Ethiopian Prime Minister, who has been in power since 2012, Haile Mariam Desalegn, resigned. But let's begin down in South Africa with Suleiman there, where South African lawmakers selected Cyril Ramaphosa as the country's new president after scandal-tainted Jacob Zuma resigned under pressure from his own ANC ruling party. First of all, general picture. Zuma is out of the picture. How is the mood down there?
Of course, it is a mixture, but on the whole, celebratory, because the country has gone for quite some time through a lot of strain. There is no doubt that for quite a number of years now, about 3 to 5, Mr. Zuma has been involved in quite a number of controversial issues concerning the governance within the country. And it was very clear by the time he has been removed that it was a question of time for him to leave, but it was certain that he had to go because the country was already tired of the so many happenings, especially as far as the management of the country was concerned. So generally, many South Africans have welcomed his stepping down, though it is very painful because he's among the people who from a younger age, sacrificed his life, who sacrificed his youth, was in prison, was out of the country, was part of a generation which sacrificed all they could to ensure that the country is liberated. He grew up in the ranks of the African National Congress. He was a stalwart of the liberation, really. Mm-hmm. It's only unfortunate that power being what it is, he was corrupted somewhere along the road. And he found himself in the very position. So it has been very difficult to put off from the ANC perspective. It's very difficult to throw away such a giant in the manner in which he has gone. Mm-hmm. But at the end of the day, the country is bigger than individuals.
I see. Mohamed, your general comment. It doesn't happen often in Africa for an institution like a political party to throw out its leader and say we need time for change has come.
No, absolutely. I think, but to push back a little bit against that sentiment, I think we have seen an upsurge toward or a trend in this direction. We have seen it in Ouagadougou. We've seen it in Zimbabwe, certainly earlier this year, largely unexpected. And we've seen it in the Gambia, a momentous occasion last year. Now, I think South Africa, with the challenge in the economy, as Suleiman just described, in fighting within the party, and now East Africa has been an anomaly in that sense. There has not been much of a change, and the change we had in Kenya was very unfortunate. But the hope now is that what is happening in Ethiopia is real, and it could be lasting. And it could change that image of the Horn of Africa as the troubled corner in the continent.
I say, Suleiman, South Africa, at least people give it credit for its smooth and strong institutions. that seem to work, at least compared to others. As well, as Mohamed just mentioned, the Zimbabweans did pull it off in more or less a peaceful manner too.
There is no doubt that as far as whatever has happened in South Africa, it is a test of democracy. Democracy in South Africa has matured. The constitution has been checked, has been tested to the maximum. What we are seeing is the growth of democracy. South Africa has got a perfect rule of law, perfect constitutionalism, perfect democracy. Everything has been done according to the law. Even the victors and the vanquished, everybody relies on the law. Nobody, no interference whatsoever. It will be shocking to the rest of the continent to know that in South Africa we have had a smooth handover. Right now, as I speak, we have got a new president. But up to now, I have not seen a face of a soldier being interviewed, or a policeman being interviewed, or a face of a policeman with a pistol, with a gun, on the street shoving and pushing anybody. Everything is democratically done. The democracy in South Africa has grown. It is a show of how democracy should help a country to progress.
Mm-hmm. We'll go back to South Africa in a moment, but let's first go to Mohamed. And Mohamed, what the resignation of Haile Mariam Desalegn seemed to have taken many people by surprise. What's the story behind?
It's a long story, but let me just say that what a week in Ethiopia, what a week. And I say that because yesterday the government released hundreds of political prisoners, prominent journalists and religious leaders. And that was seen as a turning point, as a watershed moment. And today we just got hit with another shocking announcement, even for Ethiopian watchers like me who wake up every day and look at the news from that country, information from that country. The timing of this announcement was shocking. Haile Mariam is largely seen as powerless placeholder. He was slated to go away. Everybody knew that he's on his way out, but nobody expected that it will come today. And what precipitated this moment and speeded up the process for his departure is really what we've seen on the streets earlier this week, where protesters in the Oromia region virtually shut down every major highway going into the capital, Addis Ababa, which essentially cripples the economy. Mind you, Addis Ababa is at the heart of Oromia region, and it is the center of government. And if nothing, no goods and people are moving in and out of Addis Ababa, the country is in a standstill. And the government realized that they have lost control of the streets, and they needed to make this change to make sure that they can reassert some kind of control over the country.
Before I go to Suleiman, Mohamed, does Haile Mariam's departure mean anything in the structure of government, or maybe it's just as you said, he was just a placeholder and it's gone, and then the power center has remained the same?
I don't mean to minimize the importance of his resignation today, but what is most important, in my opinion, is what comes next. The Ethiopian ruling, the Ethiopian People's Revolutionary Democratic Front, the party that has been in power since 1991, has been locked in a bitter power struggle over the last two years and a half. And that power struggle has played into the public. And some of the leaders of EPRDF, the party I just described, have embraced the protesters' demands, and they want to reform, real, genuine reforms. There are some who are stuck in the past and standing on the way of reform. So more than Haile Mariam's resignation today, I think we should be watching who his successor is going to be, how the power struggle is going to play out in the next couple of days.
I see. Suleiman, of course, as promising as the idea is in Ethiopia, you can't compare the two situations. At least there's some certainty down in South Africa. as Mohammed says, there may be, we have to wait and see situation in Addis Ababa.
We cannot compare, but also we have to watch. We have to put our ears on the ground, also appreciate and make a comment that for a long time, since the advent of these, the once called the beacon of hope on the continent, who turned out to be the beacon of hopelessness on the continent, we are beginning to see the people asserting themselves. The systematic marginalization of people, the systematic impunity, the systematic corruption, the systematic brutalization. Remember, Ethiopia from 2005, they have been undergoing stress. People were in prison. Yes, we appreciate the release of prisoners, but in the first place, we are not supposed to be there for all those years. Instead, we are supposed even to condone it. That is why we should celebrate the release of prisoners, but also we have to hold account to these repressive regimes. Thank God the people of Ethiopia, the people of Oromia have pushed pressure on them. Let their fight continue, but we need to see a collapse of these dictatorial regimes on the continent. The Horn of Africa and the East African region is full of dictators who need to be brought down. Thank God the people are realizing slowly by slowly that they have the power to put these regimes down. I think Ethiopia is a very good example. That impunity, that arrogance of thinking that you can dispense a development without consultation because you feel you know. These monolithic regimes, which arrogantly and autocratically lead the people as if they are reading their own sole proprietor businesses. Yeah. It cannot continue. It is unsustainable, and they are beginning to crack. Let's hope there will be cracking in Ethiopia, and then it will spread in East Africa so that the whole of that East African region, East and Central, begins to see change. Otherwise, the continent is under stress. The world is under stress. There are lots of challenges which these people cannot solve.
Mm-hmm. Mohammed, do we know the power structure, how it could come up with a new leader? Is there somebody next in line to Haile Mariam?
There are a lot of options, obviously, but I think from the perspective of the people on the ground, and as my friend eloquently put it, the pressure that led to Haile Mariam's resignation came primarily from the Oromo people in the Oromia region. And there are leaders in Oromia, members, new leaders of the Oromo People's Democratic Front, a ruling party that is member of the coalition that is now governing the country. They have positioned themselves as reform-minded new generation of leaders who are listening to the people, opening up the media environment already as is, and they are, by all accounts, the ones who pushed hard for the release of the prisoners. And from the people's perspective, from the perspective of the person on the street in Oromia, the largest state in Ethiopia today, the clear successor for Haile Mariam Desalegn is Lamma Magarsa, who is currently the president of the Oromia Regional State. But certainly there are other options, and a lot of people are looking at Lamma. If the leaders of Ethiopia see it to themselves that time is up, the people want the control of their institutions, the control of their government back, and they want their full freedom. They want everybody to be freed. This is what Lamma has been saying. That's the people's choice. I think we will see some movement in that direction. But I think that is an optimistic picture. There are still, you know, the government is still largely controlled by military and intelligence, who are hardliners, who wants to essentially double down on their repressive tactics, and there are now talks today in Ethiopian circles of a potential state of emergency coming by the end of this week. In fact, if we are to see something like that, God forbid we don't, then we are going to see a really terrible transition, messy, in a country that never really had a peaceful transfer of power. And I hope that the reform-minded leaders who care about the future of the country and want to afford the people of Ethiopia the opportunity to elect their leaders will prevail. And let's also keep in mind that the ruling party cannot do it alone. If you looked at the victory rallies and the freedom rallies in Oromia yesterday over the last couple of days, hundreds of thousands of people turned out in a moment's notice to welcome their heroes home, the jailed opposition leaders. We are talking about Bakala Garba, we are talking about Marara Gudina, we are talking about Iskender Naga, the veteran Ethiopian journalist. We are talking about Andwala Marage. The number of people who came out to welcome them clearly want the government to talk to these leaders. And if they do, I think Ethiopia stands to benefit from it. It can put the country on a path for prosperity and even more growth in peace.
I see. Well, gentlemen, hold your thoughts, Suleiman. Let's take a short break. We'll be back to continue our discussion of this week's political developments in Africa.
Celebrate the sounds of Africa today, yesterday, and tomorrow. That's our mission in your show, Music Time in Africa. Hello, I'm your host, Heather Maxwell. Join me every Saturday and Sunday at 1500 and 2000 UTC and discover the best Pan-African music in the world. We play it all right here, only the best on VOA Africa.
Welcome back. For you just joining us, you are listening to Reporters Roundtable, and we are coming to you live from VOA Studios here in Washington. Tonight, we are talking about the political developments in Africa for this week. Our panelists are Mohamed Ademo, co-founder and editor at Opry.com, and Suleiman Mugula, an independent political analyst, and I'm your host, Douglas Simpoga, here in Studio 6 in Washington. Suleiman, you had that eloquent description by Mohamed there. There are those who worry that Ethiopia, having been under the grip of this military-turned political party arrangement, the transition may not be that smooth.
There is no doubt about it. It is very worrying because the overstay in power by the same people, they have become immune. They are shameless. It can have a bloodbath. But as I have said, the people have woken up. As my brother has said, the demonstrations which have been going on for quite some time now, they have put pressure under government. Remember, they even banned the almost finishing all the industries, many of them foreign industries. Mm-hmm. So it has not been an easy journey from the Oromos. So this marginalization cancer which has been going on the continent, the corruption that has been going on the continent, the autocratic regimes which have been going on the continent, the people are beginning to break them down. Mm-hmm. Now in South Africa, from my place, you remember, for almost 3 years, the Marema group, the youth group, it has been on Mr. Zuma all along. The Malema group, the DA group, all these ones, opposition group, all of them ganged. And for 3 years, they have pushed pressure on the ANC until when they have found it inevitable but to load Mr. Zuma off from the government.
I see.
Then when you go to Zimbabwe also, first of all, our condolences for the loss of Mr. Tsvangirai. It is very unfortunate that Mr. Tsvangirai dies at this point in time because he has been at the forefront fighting for justice and democracy in Zimbabwe. We very well remember that really in 2008 he won elections. He was supposed to be president of that country.
True.
But because of the nature of the regimes which we have on the continent, he was swept aside. And unfortunately he has died at a time when the people have woken up and they have pushed pressure until when even ZANU-PF like ANC in South Africa was forced to offload Mugabe.
So at
the moment, I think we are seeing movement on the continent. As my brother noted also, there is also uncertainty in Togo. There is also uncertainty in Cameroon. So you can see the continent is really unstable. There are jitters everywhere.
I see.
The people are rising up, and if we go with this wave of uprisings from the masses themselves, then maybe there might be hope on the continent.
Mohamed, I know you have to run, but briefly, your last word on Ethiopia before I leave. The opposition had been. I mean, brought down to his knees and because of arrests and exile and all that. Do you see the opposition coming up and having a say in the new arrangement?
I think they have to be included. I think the government has been in power for too long. There is a fatigue, there is a trust deficit, people are reluctant to trust everything the government says. They have to prove it. And one way to prove it is by talking to opposition leaders who have clearly, as we have seen, the numbers don't lie, pictures and moving pictures don't lie, have such overwhelming support across the country. And I think if we are seeking unity, if we are seeking national consensus, if we are trying to widen the democratic space, as the government says, the government has been saying these things, if that is really the ultimate goal here, and they want to ensure that the legacy of this government, the ruling party, doesn't go down the drain, I think they must talk to the opposition. And the opposition has already signaled that they are ready to sit down and chart a future that is good for all Ethiopians, despite their ethnic differences, despite their religious differences, despite their socioeconomic differences. A future for all, an Ethiopia that is at peace with itself, in an Ethiopia that can maintain its internal cohesion and play a leadership role at the continent level. I think for that kind of transition, we need an all-inclusive dialogue. And of course, I think the first signal the government can send to the public and to the people of Ethiopia is by choosing a successor that is not from the old guard, someone who is not from the military, someone who is not from the intelligence. These sectors have ruined everything this government has accomplished by reverting to repressive measures. I think if they do that, they stand to benefit from it. They can rewrite their legacy, and it certainly puts Ethiopia on a stronger footing going forward, economically, politically, diplomatically.
I see. Suleiman, given that Mohamed's concerns there, the situation down south is quite different because, as you know, today Ramaphosa didn't even have to go through a vote. He was chosen without a vote. There was consensus about him. He's not new. He's been in and out of government. You know, the icon Mandela had him by his side. He was his man at one time before he went to business to make money. So the situation there is a bit settled because things should be moving smoothly. What some people are concerned about is, will the law take its course? Will Zuma still face the charges, the accusations that are against him?
There is no doubt about it, because the South African community is so enlightened. The rule of the law, the constitutionalism, you cannot subvert it. Actually, as far as the cases are concerned, much as Mr. Zuma tried to mix it up, you cannot mix it up. Here we have got a separation of powers precise. The judiciary is highly independent. If the prosecution, he had tried to put his fingers through it, I'm sure the first assignment which the new president is going to touch is the restreamlining of institutions, because many of the institutions seem to have been skewed by the Zuma government. I think these are some of the things which made many people to lose faith in him, that some of these institutions was trying to skew them, whereas they are supposed to be independent and to do the job which they are supposed to do. So once the institutions are well streamlined, many of them are still strong. They have not broken down. They were only being tested, and they have stood the test of time. So as far as the charges are concerned, I don't think he will escape. He has his day in court. He is very well aware, even by the very fact that even before he resigned, he was insisting that he has to be told what crime he has committed, because he knew before the law he could not be proved wrong, or it would be a big process, a long process. So everybody believes in the law. There is independence of the judiciary, and I hope, well, the whole country hopes that he will have his day in court. But before I leave, I think, Douglas, also to a small note on the development as a whole, we should not lose sight of the fact that there is a changing mood within the continent. The attempt by the leadership on the continent to suppress the people, I think it has become unsustainable. I think the generation which has gone, when you see the pressure which the ordinary people have put in South Africa, when you see the pressure which the opposition parties have put in South Africa, up to the end, up to the time of the collapse of the government, it shows you that the people are waking up on this continent. The pressure which was put in Zimbabwe, the pressure which is being put in Ethiopia, the pressure which is being put in Kenya shows that really there is some movement as far as democratization and the people is concerned.
So,
Douglas, if I may, just one, like briefly, I think Suleiman makes a really excellent point. One thing that Ethiopia doesn't have that South Africa really has in some other countries in Africa is a strong institution, independent institution. We talked a lot about power transfer and who may take place, Hailemariam's place in Ethiopia. But I think it is equally important that the repressive legislation, the terrorism legislation, the media legislation, the NGO law that has been put in place under Hailemariam's watch, unless we see reform of those laws along with the dialogue, a constructive dialogue with the opposition, I think it would still be hollow change, and it won't be very sustainable, because it will just be another leader at the top of repressive institutions and mechanisms in place. So we need political change, yes. We also need the legal and political reform.
I see. Suleiman, 30 seconds left for you.
The international community, Douglas, should be aware now, should wake up. It has supported, it has sustained most of the dictators whom we have on the continent. Ethiopia, Uganda, Rwanda, DRC, all these leaders have been the beloved governments to the international community.
Mm-hmm.
They have given them moral support, they have given them financial support, they have given them military support to suppress the people. They should now wake up and realize that the people can no longer withstand the autocratic regimes in this region.
I see. Well, gentlemen, we are running out of time. That wraps up this edition of Reporters Roundtable. I'd like to thank our panel, Mohamed Ademo, co-founder and editor at Oprah.com, and Suleiman Mugula, an independent political analyst. Gentlemen, thanks very much for being on the show.
The pleasure is ours.
Thank you.
Always a pleasure, Douglas. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Our producer tonight was Jackson Mufunganyi, and our engineer tonight was Tian Wang. We'll be back again next week with another edition of Reporters Roundtable. A reminder that in case you missed any or part of this program, you can still access it by going to our main website, click on Programs, and scroll down to Reporters Roundtable. You can also drop us a line. Our email is reporters@voanews.com. Thanks very much for tuning in, and until next week, I'm your host Douglas Simpuga in Washington, wishing you all the best.
Stay tuned for Africa News Tonight. Coming